Greetings, friends, and welcome to the What's Right Show, brought to you by Sam and Ash Injury Law, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Sam Berchofsky here, behind the What's Right Show microphone, better known as Nevada's favorite recovering Californian. Great to be here with you folks. And again, happy Friday. It's been a week, and I have to tell you, I saw this article. I cannot, Robbie. I know I sent this to you early this morning. 5:32 here, looking at our chat. I was so delighted. There's been a failed White House coup. Now, who do you think that they were trying to coup out of the White House? This is being reported by the New York Post. It wasn't Biden. Okay, no, it's not Biden. It wasn't even Kamala. They weren't out there to get Kamala. They were trying to get rid of Karine Jean-Pierre. Now, she's the kind of the human toilet mop who was up there daily defending Biden administration policies as the White House press secretary. And she is positively incompetent. By any objective standard, she sucks at her job. She reads, and this is what is great, Anita Dunn, who is... She is the described as the de facto White House comms director. She's the wife of Biden personal attorney Bob Bauer. Told colleagues who were all speaking to the New York Post that she had decided to call in prominent Democrats to have them sit down with Jean-Pierre and tell her it's time to hit the road, Jack. And apparently they did. A number of people came in and actually sat down with the press secretary and said, hey, you know, it's maybe a good time for you to leave. You know, there's a lot of pressure coming up here. We're headed into re-election. Because here's the thing, right? Biden is staring into an abyss. More poll numbers came out today. It's not good. He's losing young people even. Support among, what is it, 18 to 35? 18 to 35 is abysmal. It's dropped below 40% for Biden. He's giving away everything he can think of, including, you know, these student loan forgiveness plans. It's not working. And so my point is, you know, at this point in time, leading into the election, who is representing Biden and his administration, who is answering questions, interfacing with the media, is very important. And all of a sudden, this effort to create the most diverse administration in this nation's history is falling flat because these people are not performing. And it's comical to me, but somewhat validating, as I've been describing her as an affirmative action hire now for months. It's funny that even internally within the White House, senior officials and allies of the president are recognizing that she's a problem and she has to go. A source told the New York Post, quote, there was an effort to have some outside folks who Karine knows and trusts talk to her about why leaving last fall would have made a lot of sense for her and her career. They described it as an effort to encourage her to move along. Now, this same person, this same source, speaking to the New York Post, said that Jean-Pierre, a spokesperson there, had been in the job for a year and a half. And, you know, that point, it's kind of a standard tenure. It's about the same time that Jen Psaki, who got a job at MSNBC, right, no conflict of interest there whatsoever, left a few weeks shy of 16 months, you know, said, look, you know, they're trying to find a graceful exit for Karine Jean-Pierre because of, and here is the bum-ba-da-ba-da, because of the ugly optics of removing her against her will. Now, what do you think those ugly optics are? Well, these are the very same optics that have kept Kamala Harris on the ticket. There's another one who is objectively underperforming. Everyone in the White House knows it. You talk to any Democrat who is politically savvy, dialed in, knows what's going on in D.C. You talk to Nevada electeds, and I'm not going to throw any of you under the, you know, under the bus. I got it, okay? I guarantee you no one here is on Team Kamala, but they cannot get rid of her. Why? because they, and I mean this Biden and his team that picked Kamala Harris, for example, made a deal with the devil. And the devil's DEI, right? The devil is diversity. That they sacrificed quality for someone who looked a certain way, had a certain identity, for the sake of checking a box. And then when they found themselves in a position where the person they hired, based on their looks, turned out to, surprise, surprise, not be substantively adequate for the job, can't get rid of her. New York Post citing a source about Karine Jean-Pierre, who also is African-American, also happens to be gay, and a big to-do was made. Well, this was the first lesbian African-American who has, you know, been press secretary. Oh, whoop-dee-doo. Like that's going to save Biden's bacon going into November. Quote, there was an effort to have some outside folks who Karine knows talk to her about her career. And they said the problem is here, the graceful exit is complicated because there is a, quote, huge diversity issue. And they're afraid of what folks are going to say. Biden doesn't want to have it be on him that his, you know, black lesbian spokesperson got fired, even though everybody knows she's awful. Absolutely astounding. And none of this is surprising to any of us who have been following this administration. Now there's elements of the story, right? Obviously, DEI doesn't work. It's yet another example of that. But it also explains why Biden and his team have been so deer in the headlights and caught flat-footed and have frankly been disastrous in even the well, I understand Biden doesn't have our politics. He has a different worldview, but he hasn't been particularly effective. And what I mean by that is, somebody, let's say Alejandro Mayorkas, for example, who is the head of Homeland Security, someone more competent than him could have achieved the same goal, right, of having the country be overrun by illegals. Yeah, could have achieved the same goal, whatever the number is. Let's say the number is 15 million illegals in the country under Biden's watch. And let's assume, as I strongly believe, that that was an intended objective. So now backing away from it, someone else far more competent than Alejandro Mayorkas could have achieved that goal without all the blowback. Think about all the ways this could have been done quietly with better optics. And so I know there's the camp that says, well, Biden's been dangerously effective at getting his agenda done. Yeah, he has, but he's been very ham-fisted about it. And a lot of these screwy things that he's done that I think are going to cost him dearly in the polls are the function and result of being surrounded by people who are simply unfit to be in the positions that they are. And when you go to ask the why, okay, and there's plenty of reasons in an administration for why you don't get the best people. The pay sucks. The hours stink, right? You have a lot of personal favors. You're hiring people off the campaign that were loyal to you, right? There's a lot of reasons generally for why you don't always get the best people inside an administration. And I'm the first to recognize that, Republican or Democrat. But here, the overwhelming reason is that a lot of these people were hired simply because they're brown, they're black, they're gay, they're weird, they're, non-binary. How's that for a transit? You see, Adam Schiff lost his luggage to a luggage thief in California. He had to give a speech at dinner in the clothes that he came off the airplane with because they stole his bag. First thing I said to producer Robbie when I saw this, I said, this could be the work of Sam Brinton. Now, if you recall, particularly those of you listening here in Las Vegas, Sam Brinton is the notorious luggage thief. He stole some bags, in fact, right here in Las Vegas at the airport, formerly known as McCarran. And he was a cross-dresser, he was non-binary, and he was a Biden administration nuclear expert. Reed, he was a freak. Okay, he was a freak, and he stole luggage primarily laden with women's clothes so he could wear them, and that's how he got caught, because some designer had a one-off piece and saw him wearing it on television. So I got a question. If it was Sam Brittain, and it could very well be, my next question is, of course, did he know that Adam Schiff had women's clothing in his bag? That's the question of the day. Sam Rogowski, News Talk 840. You're listening to The What's Right Show, brought to you by Sam and Ash Injury Law, because you deserve what's right.
If you've been in an accident, there's no reason to call a sleazy lawyer.
It's not just about the settlement check. It's about representing your interests and your values.
So call Sam and Ash at 702-820-1234 or visit samandashlaw.com.
Hi, welcome back. Sam Rogowski here. You're listening to The What's Right Show, brought to you by Sam and Ash Injury Law on News Talk 840 KXNT. Okay, this business with Karine Jean-Pierre. I love that the New York Post has done the reporting. I want to point out, and if you're just tuning in, a Post is saying that the number of high, important people within the Biden administration got together. I don't want to say they conspired, but yeah, they got together and tried to convince Karine Jean-Pierre, who's the spokesperson for Biden, to quit because she stinks. Okay, she's terrible. And then one of the, you know, people that is talking to the Post has admitted that they, you know, are trying to, the reason they want to get her to quit and not fire her is because they don't want the optics of letting somebody go that has her, let's say, profile. And what they're talking about, of course, is diversity. They're talking about DEI. They're talking about, I think, admitting the fact that they hired her for her looks. And now that she stinks, they're sort of stuck with her, right? And it's, yeah. Well, I think there's something very important going on here. And it's something that isn't in the article. And that is that there are people so frustrated within Team Biden that they are speaking openly to reporters. Well, they're going off the record, but they're willing to speak. They're willing to talk to the New York Post. Right. Need I remind you of a certain amount of animosity between the Post, okay, and Biden? The Post that broke, of course, the story of crackhead Hunter's laptop. So there's some, not a lot of love between them. And the fact that they're going and they're talking, these people off the record, to the Post, and the Post has verified these people are legit and are, you know, inside the administration and all that, tells me that I think that there's some dissent in the ranks. Now, dissent politically happens when there's blood in the water. Open revolt. Okay, maybe this doesn't rise to that level, but they're talking to hostile media off the record. This is open dissent, all right? And I think it happens when there's a fear that this thing is coming to crashing down, and you can see that there are going to be, who's the person that led this, by the way? Anita Dunn. And she's a little bit older. There's some age difference here at play too. You know, the younger Democrats versus the older Democrats. I see that certainly in my friend group. Speaking of older Democrats, there's plenty that stand up for DEI. And Al Sharpton went on his MSNBC show. Was it Stacey Abrams? Oh my God. He asks her. He's talking about anti-Semitism and DEI, and Abrams comes back with, I mean, these two people, I tell you, that I don't know who's dumber in this conversation, but listen to this.
Do you fear with all of the demagoguery and the anti-women, anti-black, anti-Jewish kind of campaigning that we're seeing out of the Trumpsters, do you fear that that could be wiped away if we're not alert and mobilize the base?
What we know is that the attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, is an attack on democracy. It's an attack on education. It's an attack on how our economy works. You know, voting is not magic. Voting is medicine. But it also means that it's a constant engagement, that we can't have a moment of success. We have to keep working constantly at moving ourselves forward.
What? DEI is democracy? DEI is communism. You're promoting one group of people based on their victim status. They are a declared group deserving privilege by virtue of the state saying that they deserve that privilege. No merit involved. And that's precisely what this battle over Karine Jean-Pierre is all about, friends. It's that even within the halls of insanity, aka the Biden administration, they're realizing that this lady's nuts. And she's not, you know, manifestly not good at her job. What was, what they, they described her using note cards. That's one of the things. They said, Jean-Pierre, who made history in May 2022 by becoming the first black and first openly gay person to hold the position, had developed the exasperating habit of reading canned answers directly from a binder. And so one of the things they talk about is like Jen Psaki. Like people within the administration see this. Jen Psaki, you know, not my favorite person either, but, you know, the redhead that was before her, now a host at MSNBC. What did she do? She would go in and read about the issues. She would get on the phone or get into people's offices and talk to them about what was going on. She did that. And Karine Jean-Pierre is precisely like so many of these protesters at the Ivy League schools, spouting off stuff that she has no idea what she's saying. We have some of the clips. What about the LGBT kids? But that was good. Here she's talking about the kids.
More than 50% of transgender youth in the U.S., which is estimated to be more than 150,000 kids, live in states in which transgender youth have lost access to or at risk of losing access to gender-affirming care. Look, this is awful news. Let's be very clear about that. LGBTQI plus kids are resilient. They are fierce. They fight back. They're not going anywhere. And we have their back. This administration has their back.
She's reading about trans kids. You would think that as an LGBTQIH, by the way, I'm adding the H now for Hamas because they've joined forces, apparently. LGBTQIH individual, she could say LGBTQI whatever without having to read it. My gosh. Not a smart person, not a competent person, not somebody that you'd want by your side as you're going into battle for re-election. Here's another KJP clip from the past.
We did something that the last administration was incapable of doing, which is putting to forth a strategy to really truly deal with COVID-19 and this pandemic. We put forth a comprehensive plan, and that includes masking. That includes vaccinations. All of these things are incredibly important because we know what works. We do. I mean, we know what works.
No, you don't. You have no idea. And you're trying to claim this what? This year? I mean, who actually, honestly, with the straight face now goes that masks work and vaccines work? No one. She's reading it from her binder, standing up there, and she's going toe-to-toe with some smart people, okay? It's not like Ducey's an idiot, right, from Fox News. He's Peter Ducey. He's like, they're just, he's giving her rapid fire, and she'll ignore him. That's her answer, is just ignoring him. It's terrible. So, yes, I think, you know, I think this is going to be a major problem for Biden. Now, I promised, I got to get to this here right after the break. There have been some developments, some polling numbers. It's just not good for Biden, folks. And it's the issues too. It's the disapproval numbers that keep going after young voters. They're not getting the young voters. I'm telling you, the youth vote is not going to go for Biden the way he hopes, in spite of their best efforts to bribe them with everything they possibly can. Sam Murjovsky, News Talk 840. You're listening to The What's Right Show, brought to you by Sam & Ash Injury Law. In a crash, call Sam & Ash, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right.
Personal injury law is constantly changing. Uber and Lyft accidents aren't like other cases, but most law firms haven't kept up.
Don't trust a new case to a lawyer who's stuck in the past. Call Sam and Ash, 702-820-1234, or visit samandashlaw.com.
Welcome, friends, to the What's Right Show, your place for common sense conservatism, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m., right here on News Talk 840 KXNT. Very happy to be here with you this Friday afternoon. So, speaking of Biden's numbers, before I get to his approval numbers, that's key, right? It's not just him versus Trump, it's Biden versus Biden. I like to look at that. One thing that is interesting that Rasmussen Reports has tested is they have decided for the, I think this is for the first time, Robbie, to poll for unemployment. Now, you're probably thinking, well, Sam, what do you mean polling for unemployment? Don't we get official unemployment numbers? Yes, yes, but the Bureau of Labor Statistics cooks these numbers. I've been telling you this forever. And by the way, if you think that I'm messing with you, or I think I'm exaggerating, just do a quick review of your friends and family members and think of the people that are, you know, underemployed, or, you know, who perhaps the second job that they've had to take, like driving Uber or something, gig work that they have taken just to make ends meet, is being counted as another point on the adoption, on the employment scale, right? So they're double counting people, all sorts of monkey math in this. All right. So April 2023 is when the first, I guess, so they say pulled this a year ago, Rasmussen did. And, the 18 to 39 unemployment was at 6.6%. Okay. And by the way, that's their number. And the BLS number was at 3% at the same exact time. Now I think the number is around 4, if I'm not mistaken. April 2024, the 18-year to 39-year-old unemployment, that range, is 11.1%, according to Rasmussen. That's what young people under 40, adults, are reporting their unemployment at. Now, Biden's approval rating in this group, in this age group, 18 to 39, a year ago, just 12 months ago, April 2023, was 62%. It's unbelievable. What has it dropped to now? 38%. This is astounding. Now, I'm looking at it, right? It looks like, if I'm looking at the kind of the chart of it, approval among this group of people who are, let's be honest, Biden has made tremendous efforts to make inroads with young voters. But it looks like his popularity, beginning of his term, was high, was over 60. Then it dipped to well below 50 in 22. Then came back up slowly over time, steadily rose until 2023, April of 2023, then it's gone up and down, basically downward trajectory since then. Why? See, because it's tracked over time, so I'm not, you know, it's not, it didn't just calamitously drop, you know, now, although I will say there's another peak around, let's see, what was this, around September of 23, right? And then it's been dropping ever since. It's the economy, folks. It's not foreign policy, okay? It's not this outbreak of anti-Semitism on the left. It's probably not the border, though that could be an element of it. But it's the economy. What has happened? And these are the official numbers that are put out, right, by the administration. Our GDP, if you haven't heard the news in the last 48 hours, the GDP numbers were released for last quarter, for Q1 24. And our GDP is half, the official GDP is half of what it was in the fourth quarter of last year. These are flashing red warning signs for the economy. Now, who is feeling that first? The people out there in the job market, right? 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds, 20-year-olds looking to get work. And they are the ones who are on TikTok and they see Biden and Karine Jean-Pierre and all these clowns going, oh, everything's great. The economy's fantastic. Nothing to see here. We're humming along. And then they're not even getting calls back. Now, one of the reasons they're not getting calls back is because everybody in their college has told them to put their gosh damn pronouns on their resumes. So that's part of the problem. But the other part of the problem is just pure economics. People aren't hiring right now. I've told you this myself. You know, I don't hire for front end, you know, front office staff here at the firm, but I do ultimately, you know, interview people and I see the resumes coming in because I asked to be CC'd on them. And I'll tell you, 2 years ago, when we were coming out, when Biden was throwing all this free money into the economy, and you could see that, it went back when it was 60% in let's say, May of 21, what was going on around that time? Well, the 18 to 39-year-olds were quitting their jobs, going, I got my stimulus money, I got $10K in the account, and I'm going to screw off for a little while and take a break. I knew restaurants here in Las Vegas who were just despondent. They had somehow managed to survive the great COVID, you know, locust attack of Sisolak, right? Like Sisolak was like this one big giant locust that came in and ate the crops for everybody. Anyway, survived that nonsense only to try to reopen with all the restrictions. Remember that? And then not being able to, as they began ramping up and people were coming out of hiding to finally go and eat out and let loose, they didn't have enough staff. And they didn't have it because of Biden and the congressional Republicans and Democrats that spent money like drunken whores. Now, I know I'm going back in history. I'm just trying to explain to you some of these up and down trajectories and where we are now. So those people, young voters, first got all this free money from the government. Then we read nothing but nonstop articles about people looking to find themselves and finding happiness and mental health and all these pursuits. It wasn't, you know, it wouldn't be a 2 days that would go by that there wouldn't be a major headline about people quitting their jobs to go, you know, take a break and kind of figure out what they want to do. Who do you think did that? Do you think I did that with three kids? You know, and teens and a mortgage. No, I didn't do that. You didn't do that. But a lot of people did it. And they were primarily younger people who didn't have, you know, responsibility. And the effects on the economy were disastrous because one, these people all had free money they didn't earn. And so that is an enormous inflationary pressure on an economy. It's a fundamental thing, right? You give a bunch of people free money, prices go up because there's, by definition, there's a fixed number amount of goods in the marketplace and services in the marketplace. And so everybody's willing to pay a little bit more, prices will go up. And then, of course, these same people didn't want to produce anything in the economy. They had free money, so they weren't contributing to production, which in turn drove up scarcity. And scarcity, if you know anything about economics, which none of these, you know, Columbia students apparently do because they're too busy learning how to protest and be activists and talk woke gibberish and yell anti-Semitic slogans, scarcity also drives up price ultimately because, you know, you've got more people looking to buy less goods. This economy that we're in is 100% Biden's doing. What he did in 2021 is what is screwing us over, friends. But it also explains why the youth are so disillusioned by him. Because they thought they had it good. They thought that they had buttered their toast on both sides and, you know, and were dipping it in Nutella. It was such great life. And then it all came crashing down. They ran out of their stimulus money. They went crawling back for jobs. I would put out a receptionist position job, you know, back in 21, even 22, would get, you know, the 30, maybe 40 applicants. Now I'm getting 300, 400. I'm getting people who are lawyers that want to work as a receptionist in my firm. Because it's that bad out there. And I'm not here to talk down America. Trust me, it's not. I'm panicked about this, to be perfectly honest, friends, because I don't want the economy to tank. I don't want my investments to go south. I've worked really hard to get to where I'm at, and so have many of you, right? But I'm terrified that the flashing warning signs are there. And Biden just thinks he's going to gaslight everybody into it. So the young people are disillusioned by this because they opted out of the workforce, had all this free money, and then when they came crawling back, the jobs aren't there. And now we're going to head into some kind of a recession, folks. I mean, it's, you know, we 50% drop quarter to quarter in GDP. I'm sorry, recession dead ahead. And the only saving grace in all of this is that people will have a real wake-up call and vote Trump. That's the saving grace in all of this. But my gosh, I keep saying this, never has there been an election in the history of our country as consequential as the one coming up now. Sam Rejofsky, News Talk 840. You're listening to The What's Right Show, brought to you by Sam & Ash Injury Law, because you deserve what's right.
If you've been in an accident, there's no reason to call a sleazy lawyer.
It's not just about the settlement check. It's about representing your interests and your values.
So call Sam & Ash at 702-820-1234 or visit samandashlaw.com.
Friends, I will tell you the other thing that I absolutely love about the story, Adam Schiff, who is a congressman, major Trump antagonist, right, running for a Senate seat, open Senate seat in California, is that he got robbed. I love when Democrats face the consequences of their policies. Sam Rejofsky, News Talk 840, KXNT. Welcome to the What's Right Show. Glad to have you here with us. My email, sam@samandashlaw.com, sam@samandashlaw.com. Now, Gascon, who is Gascon? Gascon, Robbie, you know who this guy is. This is the woke, Soros-funded DA in L.A. And before you all get on me for talking about Los Angeles and not focusing on Las Vegas, do not be naive, friends. Because the horse crap that they do in L.A. that is 270 miles away from Las Vegas and can be driven in, what, 4 hours, affects us. The criminals that they go easy on in L.A. come to Las Vegas. Trust me. Talk to any sheriff's deputy, any officer here in Southern Nevada. They will tell you all about it. In fact, if you remember the stabbing that happened on the Strip, that guy was someone that was let out of jail in L.A. All right? Happens all the time. Burglaries, killings, murders, everything. The whole nine yards. So he just made... I'm just giving you a little update. ABC7 in L.A. is reporting that an L.A. triple murderer, convicted triple murderer, okay? Nancy Jackson killed a man and his elderly parents in 2018. She pled guilty, all right, and ought to have gotten 75 years to life. She got a 20-year sentence. She killed three people in cold blood, 20-year sentence. And this is what the L.A. County District Attorney, George, a.k.a. Jorge Gascon, thinks is justice. It's not justice, but it's social justice. And I just, to understand where all of this fits, this is intended to cause chaos on the streets. The Democrats, the radical Dems, and honestly, rank-and-file Democrats that put these people into office, vote Democrat no matter what, just say, you know, yeah, we ought to be more compassionate. What the end result, and it's intended, okay, by the people that are smart and orchestrating all of this, is to create such chaos that it becomes the stage for revolution and a changed order and an unseating of America, even the Constitution as we have it now. That's what they want. And that's the context. It's the proper context for understanding everything that's going on, frankly, on these college campuses. What do you think is the benefit of having cities overrun by criminals? Now, if you're the mayor, if you're in LA and you're Karen Bass, who is just a low IQ individual, let me tell you, this lady is not a sharp cookie. She was a congresswoman. She, you know, LA, you guys really missed an opportunity to have a legitimate, smart mayor. But they, you know, they decided to go for Karen Bass. So, you know, Karen Bass gets her house has one burglar show up, some idiot at 6:30 in the morning, smashes a window and breaks into the house very briefly. Helicopter gets dispatched. Multiple units show up because, of course, Karen Bass is the mayor. The guy's arrested. He's in jail. No question about it. But if that happens to you, right? If you're even a prominent wealthy person living in Beverly Hills or Bel Air, you know, even if you're a Democrat, even if you contribute to all of these left-wing causes, none of that immunizes you from the effects of having serial violent offenders caught and released over and over again. You know, we got a mayoral election here in Las Vegas. And I don't even know who to support, quite honestly, folks. I'm usually pretty good about telling you where I stand. They all have their problems, to be perfectly blunt. Certainly the leading candidates do, okay? And it's almost funny. It's like, I want to ask them, what would you do on day one, right? What would you, as mayor here in Las Vegas, do on day one? What is your top priority? And hell, if I was running, it would be so easy. My top priority, friends, is to ensure that Las Vegas does not become Los Angeles. My top priority is crime. My top priority is clearing the streets of mentally insane homeless people. My priority is any person who is a law-abiding citizen, and everybody else can expect to get the boot of my law enforcement up there. Money. That's it. If you provide safety, if you provide security, if you can work with the district attorney, who is, by the way, a Democrat and a friend of mine and a great guy and a law enforcement guy, okay, here in Las Vegas, you can work, put bad guys away. That is what you do. That would be because all the other stuff follows. If the streets are clean, if you want to revitalize downtown, you can helicopter all the money in the world at that problem, right? But if it's not safe, it's never going to take hold. It's like in medicine, a transplant. You know, you've got to create the right environment for that transplant to do its thing. And you can't do that in an environment where there is hostility, right? So it's such an easy question to answer, and I'll continue talking about LA and San Francisco and all these, because what is happening in California could infect us directly, because these people can easily travel to Nevada and cause mayhem here, but also politically, because the people that put these bozos into office who are affecting this insane ideology on these cities, counties, and on the state itself, those voters are moving here en masse. Blinken, you know, go leave for a week or two, go on vacation, come back. There's another California plate on your street from the house that just sold. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm Nevada's favorite recovering Californian. I get it. I welcome all Californians to come here that want to flee California for the and know why they're leaving. But I'm very, very, I feel very strongly about protecting us from the insanity that is happening in our state to our left. Let's put it that way. Now, all of this chaos, I say, is part of an organized plan. And I've said this all along. Christopher Rufo, who I admire deeply because he's not just an intellectual guy, although I think he is very intellectual. He's a pragmatist, and he's putting things into he's making things happen. And he has come out, and he wrote a brilliant piece the other day I want to share with you here at the top of the hour when we come back, explaining exactly what the Democrats are up to with all of this chaos. And he says exactly what I've been saying and then some. So stay tuned. This is very important. We've got to understand what they are doing. Sam Rogowski, News Talk 840. You're listening to The What's Right Show, brought to you by Sam and Ash Injury Law, because you deserve what's right.
Hi, it's Ash from Sam and Ash Injury Law. You need a lawyer you can trust. So give us a call at 702-820-1234 or go to samandashlaw.com. No pressure, just answers, because you deserve what's right.
Hi, welcome to the What's Right Show. Sam Rogowski here, your host. Great to be with you, friends. Happy Friday, April 26th. Yes, another week is almost over, but don't worry, we've got another week coming up on Monday, so I will certainly be back then. The Columbia protests, they're not protests, folks. These are the beginnings of revolution. And so here on the What's Right Show, given that we practice common sense conservatism, we need to call this what it is. There's a tape, by the way, coming out that's making the rounds. Kaimani James is this guy's name. Goes by he, she, they, whatever the F that is. Columbia University class of 2005. Now James has come out and given a apology for this, saying it's not what he intended. Now, I'm going to say I think this is something that he said, by the way, in a disciplinary proceeding against him by the university, and on the basis of his testimony that is now recorded, right? This is something that happened months ago before these riots broke out. This James guy felt comfortable to say this to Columbia University administrators, and they let him stay. Listen to this. Just listen to some of the stuff that came out of his mouth.
Zionists, they don't deserve to live comfortably, let alone Zionists don't deserve to live. The same way we're very comfortable accepting that Nazis don't deserve to live, fascists don't deserve to live, racists don't deserve to live, Zionists, they shouldn't live in this world.
What? Can you imagine if I... Now, by the way, I don't... We who agreed that Nazis don't deserve to live? I don't know. I mean... They have reprehensible views that I strongly disagree with, but if a Nazi's just sitting at home thinking Nazi thoughts, saying Nazi things, I mean, hell's bells. Don't hang out with that person. Ostracize them. But not deserving to live? Right? I mean, I think, okay, you get convicted of a war crime and there's capital punishment. I'm all for that. But, once upon a time, it was Jewish lawyers working for the ACLU back when the ACLU had credibility and was legitimately protecting the interests of the Constitution, standing up for and representing in court actual Nazis and KKK members who were protesting in Skokie, Illinois, famous case. Because that's what America is. We don't have to agree with you. Certainly not have to like what you have to say. We have the right to say it. And that same right, of course, then you respect for us, for our side, when we talk about things that you find objectionable. It's a two-way street. But these crazy people have determined that people don't deserve to live. They have dehumanized their targets. And ironically, that they talk about Nazis, this guy is a Nazi. Kaimani James, he, she, they, it, whatever the frick this person is a Nazi. He's a fascist. So he continued in this conversation that he was having with school administrators there at Columbia and said this.
Be glad, be grateful that I'm not just going out and murdering Zionists. I've never murdered anyone in my life, and I hope to keep it that way. I genuinely hope to keep it that way.
Let me say something. If this guy or anyone around him, influenced by him, actually went out and murdered a Jewish student on campus following this testimony that he gave to university administrators, as a lawyer, I'm going to say this. I believe this would be evidence of culpability in that for the university, and the university could be held liable in a wrongful death claim. And this, you know, he's a leader in this movement. This guy is like the guy. Now, here you can hear him in a clip leading a basically a chant, right? Or talking about, let's see, what is he doing here? Yeah, this. Oh, well, he wants to, yeah, there's a human chain that's trying to kick Jews out of the Columbia encampment. Listen to this. Listen to this guy. And he's trying to apologize for this. Like, my comments were taken out of context. Yeah, right.
Excuse me. Do you see what you guys are doing to us?
We are going to
slowly. You see how hostile this is? And you're asking me not to record?
Walk and take a step forward.
Yeah, I absolutely feel threatened right now.
So that we can.
Start to push them out of the camp.
One step forward.
That's Kaimani James. He, she, it, thing. Pushing Jews off of the campus. Just let that sink in. Now, here's the thing, right? We've learned that these students are being funded, right? It was the initial images of all the tents, all exactly the same, all expensive, right? These encampments didn't just happen spontaneously. They had support. We have news that George Soros himself has been funding this. Now, I tweeted today on Twitter, X, whatever the hell it's called. My account, at What's Right Sam, I put out there that it's always bothered me. As the son of immigrants, that George Soros is trying to destroy the country that he now calls home, right? I mean, it's something that just that always has bothered me. But now I can't even wrap my head around the fact that George Soros, a survivor of the Holocaust. Okay, he was born in 1930, Hungarian, survives the Nazis. Okay, for whatever reasons, right? I know there's some controversy there too. Survives the Nazis, comes to the West, first to England, then to America, and now is paying to support people who are parading around with signs touting a final solution. Who first used that term, huh? That's I don't understand it. But the objective, these people are useful idiots to people like Soros that are in power. By the way, fair disclosure, George Soros, a minority owner of this radio station. So, you know, that's fun. There's a purpose behind it. And Christopher Rufo, I promised I'd get to this. He put out a piece on the 25th yesterday. Catherine Mayer, who is the NPR boss, called it her color revolution. Now, what are the color revolutions? This is a little bit of history in post-Cold War Europe, Eastern Europe. The color revolutions, Rose Revolution, Orange, Tulip Revolutions in Georgia, Ukraine, other countries. These were efforts that our government supported to replace governments in those countries with Western liberal democracies. Okay? And Rufo gets into this, I love this parallel because, you know, there's a lot of things that we did, and Americans are learning more about this history. The Orange Revolution in Ukraine, for example, where we did certainly support one side over the other. And how did we do it? Well, we provided funding. We encouraged dissent. We did a fair amount of organizing activists through social media. We promoted student movements. And as Christopher Ruffo describes it, we unleashed a certain amount of domestic unrest on the streets, okay? And, you know, we may disagree as Americans on the, you know, those efforts and a little bit, but we did it, okay? It's a fact. And here's the kind of the light bulb moment in for all of us conservatives that we need to wake up to is that, and Christopher Ruffo writes this, quote, "What many don't realize is that these organized revolutions don't only occur overseas, but they also happen here in the United States." And Ruffo writes, "The summer of rioting following the death of George Floyd, which ushered in the new DEI regime, was in many ways a domestic color revolution. And it was advanced by progressive NGOs, non-governmental organizations, media entities, and political actors." And the reason why this Catherine Mayer character from NPR, who I've, you know, we've covered this issue here on the program, is so important, why she's come to prominence, is because, you know, she actually was involved in her own color revolutions that took place in North Africa in the 2010s. She supported post-George Floyd upheavals in the U.S. in the 2020s. And then, of course, the CEO, she was the CEO of Wikipedia, Wikimedia Foundation, which, you know, runs Wikipedia, and is the new CEO of NPR, which is where she's come into a fair amount of controversy. Now, you know the story about the editor there, longtime editor Yuri Berliner, who wrote a very thoughtful, long piece about how monolithic the thought is in the newsroom at NPR. And this is our tax dollars are supporting it, so this is a matter of public interest. And her response was to suspend him with 5 days unpaid suspension, and he decided to quit. But it goes through her background. And I don't think, you know, I'm not going to read it all here, but it's just basically, you know, she's, I don't know if she's ever worked for the CIA. She doesn't, you know, come out and say it, but it kind of seems like she either has worked for the CIA or worked closely with people and groups that are funded by the CIA. She was a part of the Arab Spring. She went to multiple countries there who had U.S.-backed regime change, Tunisia, Turkey, Syria, okay, Libya. She's affiliated with all these NGOs that are getting funding from the U.S. government. So she's, her whole background is this. And there are plenty of people like her floating around. In fact, more often than not, you'll find people in the media, okay, at the FBI, at the Department of Justice, that have these types of credentials. And what are they doing? They know they can't win over America head on. They know that they can't just convince all of us to give everything up and become communists. So they create chaos. They manipulate social media. They manipulate the news and so-called journalism, all in an effort to turn America to something completely unrecognizable to you and I. Quick break. Sam Rojofsky, News Talk 840. You're listening to The What's Right Show, brought to you by Sam and Ash Injury Law, because you deserve what's right.
If you've been in an accident, there's no reason to call a sleazy lawyer.
It's not just about the settlement check. It's about representing your interests and your values.
So call Sam and Ash at 702-820-1234 or visit samandashlaw.com.
You know, there are very specific financial incentives for powerful people to have chaos out in the streets. Sam Rojofsky, News Talk 840, you're listening to The What's Right Show. I give you the example always of Amazon. You know, if you think that it boggles the mind that the world's richest, second richest, fifth richest, whatever he is at any given time, Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, if you think about what incentive in God's name he has to support these insane liberal socialist Democrats as a wealthy man, and what is, and it's easy to say it that, look, he doesn't want for them, you know, the masses, the revolutionaries to come for him with pitchforks. So it's this sort of atonement thing. I'm going to support Democrats. I'm a man of the people. I'm one of them. And there's a lot of that in the Democratic Party. But I'm convinced, folks, that people like him vote with financial incentives in mind. And it's not just about his vote, right? It's an enormous amount of money that he spends supporting these causes. Ditto with a guy like Soros. Now, Soros likes manipulating politics in order to influence markets so that he can make billions of dollars. Once you begin to understand that, he's not some irrational, you know, baddie. He's just a baddie, right? He's a very shrewd guy, and you have to unpackage what it is that he's doing. In a sense, to answer my own question or my own sort of musing about how can a guy like Soros, who escapes the Holocaust, is a Jew living in Nazi-occupied Hungary, comes out of the Holocaust, moves to the West, becomes a wealthy man, how he can financially support these protesters at these universities carrying around death to Jews signs, you know, boggles the mind, certainly, when you begin to understand it, that he really doesn't have perhaps as great of a philosophical mooring in life as he does a desire to make money. And I, you know, that's fine, but I never begrudge somebody making a buck, but what, at the expense of putting all of America in the toilet? George Soros is the one guy who bet against the English pound and, you know, 92 created a almost undid all of Great Britain. Made $1 billion doing it. It was a big, you know, breakout moment. But back to Jeff Bezos, you know, if he's backing people like Gascon in LA, the woke DA, Alvin Bragg, another guy who lets criminals out of jail, unless their last name is Trump, well, then he's going to throw everything he's got at them. And DAs across the country, like, you know, who are letting these criminals out of jail. What benefit is there for somebody like, I don't know, the owner of Amazon to have chaos in the streets? And you got to think, you know, if your local bodegas and even like Walgreens stores are going out of business and are shuttering because of rising crime, where are people afraid to leave their homes? And when they do go to stores where everything is locked up or nothing is on the shelf, where are they going to go and shop? Oh, Amazon. That's right. How convenient. And when you begin to look at these things through that lens and go, what's their motive? Right? It all starts to make sense. Now, the political motives for the people engaged in this is very clear to me. And Christopher Rufo in his piece yesterday gets at this. And again, Christopher Rufo is a young, brilliant guy here in the U.S. who is absolutely, I tell you, you know, I grew up reading a lot of conservatives, right? My father subscribed to Commentary and National Review. I mean, I had deep respect growing up and certainly for his English mastery of the English language for William F. Buckley Jr. And some of those, the next generation of his successors, right? I think like Jonah Goldberg, right? People I used to respect so much. And to me, they have devolved into empty theorists who are mostly wrong about everything. And Christopher Rufo understands, as a fundamentally, that you've got to go after the institutions. He has reverse engineered what the left has done to this country. They have destroyed it from within by worming their way into, for example, universities. And that's why Rufo, working together with DeSantis in Florida, has really pushed the left out of state universities in Florida to great success. University of Florida now is an example of a school that doesn't have any protests. They're disbanding any, you know, hey, look, you can say whatever you want, but you can't camp here. No, you can't intimidate people. If you do that, you're going to be trespassed. You're going to be asked to leave and we're going to kick you out of the school. Well, done. Problem solved. The cancer doesn't spread. But that's because they have taken steps there, thanks to Rufo, and DeSantis and the state legislature to make that happen. But the intent of these people behind all of this nonsense is to have chaos. They want crime. They want us afraid. They want us destroyed. They want us dependent on the government. Because then their dreams of socialism can be achieved. And you just have to read a little bit of world history to understand that this all has been done before, and it's been done successfully, which of course is giving great encouragement to the to these democratic fascists looking to do it here. Sam Rzhovsky, News Talk 840. Be right back in just a minute, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, it's Ash from Sam and Ash Injury Law. You need a lawyer you can trust. So give us a call at 702-820-1234 or go to samandashlaw.com. No pressure, just answers, because you deserve what's right.
Greetings, friends. Sam Rzhovsky here, your favorite cisgender heteronormative radio host. Welcome to the What's Right Show. Yes, this hour brought to you by Sam and Ash Injury Law, 702-820-1234, offices in Nevada, in California, because you deserve what's right. Now, part of this chaos that they're looking to sow, trust me, friends, on this, I mark my words, the trans movement is a huge component of this, and this is why there's this cozy, bizarro relationship between the Hamas people and you saw the drag queen thing, Robbie. Here's a listen, right? This guy dressed as a woman, very sexually provocative, bunch of kids around. Listen.
Today, what we're gonna do is gonna shout "Free Palestine." Can I hear that?
Free Palestine.
If you're a drag queen and you know it, shout.
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it, and you really want to show it, you're a drag queen and you know it, shout,
Free Palestine!
It's so catchy. Okay, cutting that. So that's, you get the idea of what's going on. This is why I'm joking, of course. Well, it's almost serious, right? The absurd has become reality, that it's the LGBTQIH movement, H for Hamas. So what do you think, right? What do you think is the purpose, though, behind the political left in this country making it okay for, I don't know, boys to enter girls' locker rooms at school, bathrooms at school? Adult men who simply say that they are women entering park bathrooms where our young daughters might be. What do you think the end result of this is? Because what they say, they don't want any hate. They don't want any hate. Of course, they, being the Democrats, don't want any hate except when it's against Jews and white people. I mean, then it's perfectly fine. As long as the hate is directed at someone who is what? Who is perceived to be weak and not strong. That's the key difference, right? And by the way, Elon Musk, a tweet yesterday, and the axiomatic error undermining much of Western civilization is weak makes right. This is exactly right. He goes on to say, if someone accepts explicitly or implicitly that the oppressed are always the good guys, then the natural conclusion is that the strong are the bad guys. And that's exactly what this is all about. But what is the purpose behind it, right? The purpose, again, is harm and chaos to their political enemies. And political enemies of the left are anyone here who is traditional, who is normal, who is law-abiding. Here is a tragedy unfolding. This is North Penn School District. This is a Pembroke Middle School student in Philadelphia, and there was an attack there that ended up with a seventh grader being taken to the hospital. Now, you know, when a trans student has something happen to them, it's front page news, and President Biden holds a press conference talking about how there's a victim of transphobic aggression before any of the facts come through. And nowhere here in this reporting on the incident is anything about the fact that the student attacker here was himself trans, was a boy identifying as a female, and was going around targeting kids. Now, it's nowhere. You know, mainstream media isn't covering this. April 18th, so roughly a week ago, 12-year-old girl speaking out about what happened. This is at the school board meeting, North Penn School District, talking about what happened leading up to the incidents there at school. And I'm just going to warn you folks, this is heart-wrenching. Listen.
Wednesday morning, I went to the guidance counselor and told her, since I was second on the hit list, knowing that there was something going to happen, because there was a girl she was targeting every day at lunch. And they would go to the counselor and tell them every day that this is going to happen. And Wednesday, I went with two others, and each of us filled out a whole paper full of what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. And then I went to chorus, and I was told, watch your back. He is going to come for you and this other girl at lunch. And when I was at lunch, I was terrified, and I told Miss Fattori that that was happening, and she said, don't worry about it. It's not going to happen.
And what you really have going on here is adults that are charged with the protection of our kids are either too afraid to confront a trans student because hashtag transphobia, or are willingly participating and in full knowledge that harm is likely to happen to students in this in order to achieve what? Some sort of political agenda. So this unnamed young 12-year-old first party witness to all of this continues describing the attack that happened here that is the subject of all of this publicity. Still, no one talking about the fact that it's a trans student run amok, which, you know, nobody wants to touch that, right? Third rail.
Early that morning, I was told I was not going to see Mel for the rest of that week. But I was in lunch, and all of a sudden, I just hear all this screaming and everybody running. And I see Mel running in after somebody, and everyone's screaming and running. But the girl who got attacked didn't see it because she was faced backwards, and all of a sudden you just hear these terrible, like, loud bangs of the Stanley bouncing off her head. And then you see Mel grabbing her hair and hitting her against the table and just repeatedly hitting her with the Stanley. There was blood going everywhere. I was the table right behind it, and all you see is blood everywhere. And you say in your email that it was 8 minutes, but we timed it. It was 28 minutes, and we had to sit in there and watch them clean up her blood off those tables and ground. And we had to watch them take her out with blood dripping down her face. And I will never forget that. And laying in bed last night, I just kept repeating it in my head. And we shouldn't have had to sit there and just, like, watch that, like, watch them clean up her blood with a mop. Watch her repeatedly yelling that I'm going to murder you and just hitting her with a Stanley. Oh, and God. I don't get how, like, you couldn't have stopped it. It was 5 hours from when I told you it was going to happen. And when it happened, it was 5 whole hours. I don't get how you couldn't have stopped that. And how Ms. Fattori said, don't worry, it's not going to happen. We have her under control. But clearly you didn't.
No, they don't have anything under control. And we're letting these kids down. These left-wing freaks who prioritize their wackadoodle ideology over the safety of our kids do not deserve to be in any position of power anywhere. Okay? Again, it's all by design. They want to reorder society. The person that gets handled with kid gloves is the perceived victim. And the actual victims are considered to be, well, they're cisgender, right? They're normal. If you're normal, you don't have any victim status. Even if you literally have blood pouring from your head, you're not a victim. And that is why this Miss Fattori says, don't worry, it's not going to happen. It's not that, because to Miss Fattori and every other of these liberal fascists, they consider the victim to actually be the aggressor. Now, can I give you something here to chew on that, you know, is going to get me into trouble, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it anyway. If the starting point for a child is that he thinks that she's a girl, then you know they have mental problems, right? Like, coming out of the gate, I think I'm a girl. Well, you know what? You're not. And the fact that they don't have an adult to tell them, you know what? Shut the F up, you know, and you're not a girl, okay? You have some, you might have other issues, but that's not one of them. But instead, all of these adults, for a variety of reasons, accommodate the mental illness of these young people. And in doing so, they set the stage for this kind of stuff to happen. Because if you repeatedly tell somebody who's mental that they're not and that they're actually celebrated for their, oh, you get benefits. Oh, look, Mel is special. Mel is trans. Yay, we have Mel. Let's all support Mel. And Mel's just a mentally ill kid that needs help. But instead of giving him help, they're supporting this insanity. And at the end of the day, there are tragic results. Absolutely heartbreaking, all of this. Sam Rachofsky, News Talk 840. You're listening to the What's Right Show, brought to you by Sam and Ash Injury Law, because you deserve what's right.
If you've been in an accident, there's no reason to call a sleazy lawyer.
It's not just about the settlement check. It's about representing your interests and your values.
So call Sam and Ash at 702-820-1234 or visit samandashlaw.com.
Greetings, friends. Welcome back. Heavy topic here today on the What's Right Show. Sam Rachofsky, your host. Common Sense Conservatism, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. I am, emphasis on common sense, when we talk about trans and kids and the left, there is no common sense. All of this is absolute pure insanity. And I'll, I just played this heart-wrenching clip of a little girl speaking to the North Penn, that's in Pennsylvania, school district, I think this is a Pittsburgh area, where a boy who thinks he's a girl, encouraged by the school, violently attacked a girl. You know, like an actual girl. And the girl ended up in the hospital. The kids had to see the blood everywhere, the fight, and the teachers didn't do anything because the teachers were either afraid of challenging a trans student being accused of transphobia, or are willingly participating in this idea that, you know, that these are the trans students, actually the preordained victim, and everything is seen through that lens. If the victim is fighting back, read the aggressor, well, there must be a reason for it. Now, parents, as you might imagine, April 18th went to this school district meeting and certainly let these insane administrators know what was on their mind. Here's an unknown man, sounds like a father, just absolutely unleashing on them, and I think you'll agree with everything he has to say.
Whether this child who was the attacker has issues or not, a lot of it comes from your policy, your leadership, and what you do or do not accept. I remember at one point you were very focused on everyone has to wear a mask. But you let all these major things go. You let sexual assaults go. You let violence go. And another thing, this was a teenage boy who beat on a little girl. All right? Call it what it is. I don't care. Don't look at me like that, Mr. Fusco. You're a father. What if that was your daughter? What if that was your daughter? And I'm sorry. I didn't want to be here. I'm here because people reach out to me. I'm here because apparently too many people are afraid to just say that. Men and women are different, all right? Whatever you want to do as an adult, God bless you, that's fine. You have that right. But let kids be kids. Let them make that decision later in life when it's appropriate.
Exactly right. And don't push this ideology on our kids, and don't put other kids in harm's way, right? These fanatics go so far to accommodate the mental illness of these little kids because, of course, it, I think, helps their agenda. and at the expense, of course, of everyone. Now, this man, in his impassionate remarks before the school board in a school board meeting April 18th, continued asking a very important question, right? What, nobody's reporting on the fact that this is a boy that attacked a girl. That's how terrified and politically correct we are. We're not even reporting the facts.
Men and women are not the same. Our hormones are not the same. Our strength is not the same. Our aggression is not the same. How come none of the articles said that it was a boy attacking a girl? How come half the people here kept switching between he and she? And again, I have nothing against any type of community, but what's right is right and what's fair is fair, and that's not cool. And if this kid was protected simply because they were trans and not because of any other reason, that's not cool. They have a violent past.
You know, they don't want any light on this. And they don't want to talk about it because they know what they're doing is wildly inappropriate. That's what this is all about. They know it's wildly wrong and they know it's unpopular. I can't emphasize this enough. I think that a lot of what the Democrats do right now, they wish they could do without any public scrutiny. They hide a lot of these things. You know, it's big news today, speaking of California and wackadoodle things leftists do, about NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. Now, I guess Trump isn't allowed to use NDAs. They can be broken if it's Trump, but the legislatures, right? The legislators, the elected officials of California are using NDAs to hide what they are doing. You know, and when open meeting laws and such certainly allow for the public and taxpayers to know what their elected officials are doing. These people like to hide, is my point. And I think that that shows that they know what they're doing is not popular. This is why they need censorship. This is why they didn't want Elon Musk to take Twitter over. This is why, and we'll get into it next week, Australia is doing what it's doing. They're cracking down on media. Same with Brazil. Leftists cannot withstand the scrutiny of common sense people uniting in opposition to their insanity. Cannot do it. And so, my view on this, this is Pennsylvania, right? I saw somewhere about Trump is up 4 in Pennsylvania. Yeah, probably. You think any of these parents here in this community, knowing what happened, word is spreading. Like the leftists that put these kids in harm's way, like at what point do ordinary people wake up? And I love that he talks about masks, COVID restrictions. Oh, we got to keep the kids safe. They got to stay home. Online education, safety first. These people don't care about safety of their kids. Not at all. The whole thing was a sham from top to bottom. And it's becoming evident more than ever that that's the case. Now, speaking of social media, I want to end on a lighter note here. So many of you know that I have a side project here. Once a week, I record a food show. It's not political. It's Eat, Talk, Repeat, and you can get it wherever you get your podcast. It's not on air, but it's me, my law partner at Sam and Ash, Ash Watkins, and, of course, our good friend John Curtis, who has been writing about food since the early 1990s here in Las Vegas and is one of the smartest people I know. He's a city attorney here in Las Vegas. Very great guy. And so we do a food show, and we typically will record either like Friday morning or we do it Thursday afternoon. So yesterday afternoon, we started recording the show, and about 4 minutes into recording the podcast, okay, while I was talking about, I was going to ask John about TikTok because, of course, there's some news about TikTok getting shut down. It's not going to get shut down. They're just going to divest the Chinese of it. We'll see what happens of it. Anyway, we're talking, and you know, Ashley has my law partner. She's got this beautiful dachshund named Rocky. And, you know, I guess what happened as I'm about to ask John about this TikTok thing, poor Rocky, I guess his tail got, you know, Ashley rolled her chair back and his tail got stuck in the wheel there of the chair. And here's the audio of what went down.
Before we get to reservations, real quick, TikTok might get banned. What does that?
I got to stop it. That's just too hard to listen to. That is what happened in our studio. And I want you to know, folks, that Rocky, he didn't even wait 15 minutes, and he immediately signed with me his personal injury case against Ash. I just want you to know. I now represent him for his injuries. He's going to be okay, but he's got a path to recovery. So... It is not going to be in the podcast. We cut it out. Don't worry. It's not in the podcast. You can listen to the podcast and not hear animal abuse. But poor Rocky. Oh, my God. We stopped everything and was, like, holding him. And he was fine. He's okay now. But just absolutely awful. Okay. Got to run. It's been a wonderful show. As always, love our 2 hours together that we get every weekday here on News Talk 840 KXNT. See you next week, folks. Be safe out there. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.